This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Nope, it's not a feel-good football Friday. I don't know what the hell it is. I don't know what to call it. Matt doesn't either. I had a couple of suggestions. It's kind of a...
leaning towards In Your Feels Friday.
In Your Feels Friday. I was thinking about it's a bleeping Friday.
Yeah, the we bleeping. Want to keep the FCC license,
yeah,
though.
Well, you know, hence the bleeping. But you know what I'm trying to get at. It's not a good one. Tell you that much. Yeah. So that. You know, listen, I'll start with this before we get into the nitty-gritty of the game and all of that and the breakdown and before we take all your calls, and we have plenty of time to take all your calls, so make them 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Not very good, Bob. It's not 5-11. But it was not very good, and the second half was miserable. You know, when you're a team that is not quite there yet, things like last night kind of tend to happen, where you play pretty darn good on one side of the ball for 2.5, 3 quarters, and then everything falls apart. And that's basically and almost exactly what happened last night. So let me start here. The Commanders at now 7-4 and very clearly behind the eight ball in terms of chasing the NFC East. Never, like, there were people just yesterday that I heard that were like, well, maybe they can get a bye. Maybe they can get a bye. People, do we understand what goes into a bye nowadays? It's not the two top teams in the conference. It's one. Number one. That's it. That's the only bye. Now, you get an extra home game if you're the 2 seed. You do. But you're not guaranteed a bye, even at the 2 seed. Or, I mean, you're not. You don't get one. All you're guaranteed is an extra home game. That's it. Period. But that being said, forget about all of that. You got to worry now at 7-4, are you going to have enough juice? Not Benjamin St. Juice. You got plenty of that, much to your chagrin. Are you going to have enough juice to make the playoffs? And the answer probably at 7-4, 13 and a half hours removed from the final gun, the answer probably is yes, but it was almost definitely 5 days ago. And now it's, yeah, probably, maybe, I think so. Possibly plus, right? In 5 days, it went from 7-2 to 7-4. They lost both games against the Keystone State Cops. And one game was uglier than the other, yet both games they had a chance to win. And if they would have done a couple of things better, right, more efficiently, they could have won at least one, if not both. The NFL, as many people have reminded you of the course of time, stands for not for long. It also stands for stupid, but that's a different argument and a different show. The NFL stands for not for long. 5 days ago, when we woke up Sunday morning and we all headed to Northwest Stadium, And we saw all those terrible towels and all the black and gold. And some of you stupidly thought it was because the name stinks. I don't quite get that, but whatever. When we woke up Sunday morning and we headed to the stadium, this was a shoo-in in many of our opinions and eyes to be a playoff team. And now, again, it's a two-game losing streak. It's not a shoo-in by any stretch, even though you think you have beatable opponents at least the next three games, but there is far, far, far from any guarantees, especially when you look at that Titans defense coming down the road 2 weeks from now, and of course, you know, just the Cowboys in Washington, the rivalry and all that stuff, and they'll probably get up for that game and whatnot. And then New Orleans on the road, and you don't know exactly what to expect out of New Orleans on the road after the bye, and then Philadelphia at home, and then Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, maybe on and probably on a short week, and then at Dallas. You get the point. There's no guarantees. There wasn't a guarantee last Sunday morning when we woke up, but there's way, 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 way less of a guarantee on this Friday morning, now Friday afternoon, when we all woke up, right? Again. We all understand, we're all big boys and girls, we all understand how quickly things can change. And this is why, like, when people start talking, and people did on both of our stations, Super Bowl, one seed, and 5 weeks, and this, and that. Ooh, slow down. Can we please win a few more games first? I mean, I kept trying, and I was accused of being an industry plant. And accused of being negative. Nope. Instead, in reality, I'm a realist. And I've been down this road a lot. And I understand how quickly things can change, good and bad. Right? 5 weeks ago, well, now 6 weeks ago, the Philadelphia Eagles were basically given up for dead. I mean, Nick Sirianni was yelling and screaming at fans. They were beating the Cleveland Browns 20-16 1 week after the Commanders had laid waste to the Browns. And everything seemed to be wrong. And then a snap of the finger, maybe more than one snap of the finger, and everything is Shangri-La in Philadelphia. Again, last Sunday morning we woke up feeling really good about the Commanders. And now, many of us that are either fans or avid followers or job dependent, right, on the Commanders, and the Commanders being good or interesting or fun or fascinating, now a bunch of us feel maybe not terrible, but feel a lot worse than we did last Sunday morning and even yesterday morning when a lot of people thought they might be able to win this game. And I thought if they did a bunch of things right, they would be able to win that game. Didn't pick them. Because I didn't have faith that they would do a bunch of things right that they needed to do. They did some things right, but not everything right. And ultimately, the way I kind of want to begin the show, besides what we've already mentioned, is they are a fairly good to good team. They're 7-4 through 11 weeks. That generally should get you to the good category. Not great, not very good, good. I'll say fairly good to good because I do think they overachieved a little bit on their path to 7-4. Now, you may pick a bone and say, nope, they're good or they're very good. Okay, you see it that way, I see it my way. I think they're fairly good to good. I think they're probably more good than fairly good, but fairly good to good. Does that make sense? They're not a bad team, even though they're on a two-game losing streak. And even though right now the sky-high feeling and the emotions that were generating bolts of electricity throughout this entire region just a couple of days ago have now dimmered, have now been put away for at least some time. And it's going to take a win or two or three for that magic, for that belief to come back again. They're not a bad team. They're not an average team. The record tells us that. Our eyes tell us that. The competitiveness tells us that. But by no means, again, can we walk around feeling that they are a shoo-in to make the playoffs. And by no means can we walk around going, hey, man, my team's awesome. My team can win any game. And maybe they can. But when I say you can win every game and any game, I think I take it at a different level than many of you, because many of you are like, well, if they do one thing right or two things right, they needed to do six or seven or eight things right last night in order to win that game, and they did maybe one or two right. And that's okay. There's nothing embarrassing. It was not a humiliating loss. It was not a bad loss. It was an ugly fourth quarter. And parts of the third quarter, yes, got a little squirrely on defense. I disagree with Coach Sheehan a little bit. He was making it like they were terrible on defense the entire second half. Listen, they certainly wore down. And I kept saying on X, on Twitter, you got to follow me, at WrestleMania621. I was worried how much they kept asking the defense to do over and over and over again. Lack of third downs. Just asking the defense against a high-powered juggernaut offense on the road on a short week to basically win that game on its own. I was worried about that. I kept worrying about that. Yes, I understand they got some breaks with Jake Elliott missing the couple of field goals, the extra point, all of that. Philadelphia not executing in the red zone. I get it. I get it all. I was there. I watched the whole game. I have six pages of notes. I get it. But it really, 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 really super duper ooper fell apart on defense in the fourth quarter. But that's, in my opinion, mostly because the offense was asleep at the wheel for about 52 out of the 60 minutes. And that's simply not good enough, dog. Patrick Mahomes style. If you watched one of those documentaries, everybody was dog. And he would say, hey, ain't good enough, dog. Simply not good enough, dog. You cannot be sleepwalking. You cannot be asleep at the wheel for 51, 52 minutes on offense and expect to win a game on the road in the division against a much more talented team than you, a team with much more... I don't want to say cohesion, but a team that's been built and added to and layered and sustained for the most part for several years. You cannot expect to go on the road in the division against a red-hot team with a surging defense, a very, very good offense, in their own home building and be asleep at the wheel for 51 minutes of the game on offense. You cannot do that. So whether you like me, you don't like me, whether you like the tone of the show, my words, you know, I don't really care. You can call and argue with me. You can yell at me on Twitter all you want. Fine, go right ahead. I don't care. I'm telling you the truth as I see it and as I know it. They were asleep at the wheel on offense for about 51 minutes or so of last night's game. And anybody that wants to blame the defense and said the defense was bad simply did not pay attention to the first three quarters. Again, did they give up yards and did they give up plays? Absolutely. You know what, guys? As we found out from time to time this year, most notably in week two against the Giants and then the game against the Bears a couple of weeks ago, and even to some degree against the Steelers, it's not just can you move the football. You have to be able to actually execute in the end to score touchdowns and points and to not rely on a bad place kicker or one thing going wrong, derailing the engine. and derailing the path to success. It's more than just moving the football. So the Eagles were able to move the football much of the first three quarters. They weren't able to score points because either they would shoot themselves in the foot or, oh my God, God forbid, we give credit to the Commanders. DVOA, DVOA, DVOA. Shove DVOA up your backside. I don't care about DVOA. Please, give me a break. I know what my eyes tell me. The defense played good for three quarters. Not great, not lights out, not perfect, good. And then they completely fell apart in the fourth quarter because, again, the offense was asleep at the wheel for 51 minutes of the game last night. And that's the bottom line. Again, they're a fairly good to good team. They went on the road on a short week in division, beat a much more talented team, a team that has more maturity, a team that's been together longer, a team that's layered their roster longer. There is nothing to be embarrassed about. But if you're being realistic, you can now say all those dreams of getting a bye and the two seed and January-ish rocking at Northwest Stadium. Maybe you can't say officially goodbye to that, but you might want to prepare your goodbye letter for that, because I think it's over. I think that ship sailed. I think at this point, they'll be fortunate enough to make the playoffs, and then you take your chances, because they still got a lot of work ahead of them. Here's the bottom line. Jaden Daniels last night was worse than he was last Sunday. They keep saying every chance they get, a bunch of you guys were screaming at me on X last night, you guys got to find out whether he's injured. All they can do is ask. And Dan Quinn was as clear as day. Dan Quinn said, he's not injured. He's not on the injury report. He's not injured. They ran a couple of quarterback run by designs, a couple that I didn't like. They went for it on fourth down with a under center botched snap, botched exit from under center, run to the right, in which he got smoked on. We can say this and also be optimistic about the future. Jaden Daniels has been human. And maybe human might be strong the last 2 weeks. He's been human. And that's okay. He'll be back. He'll be fine. This isn't the end. There's nothing really to be, whoa. That was awful. He didn't have a four interception night. He didn't get catastrophically injured. He didn't look clueless or blinded in the headlights. Didn't. He didn't look good, but he didn't look clueless. And it's okay. It's okay to criticize the quarterback. It's okay to criticize the quarterback and still put on your Jaden Daniels 5 jersey. It's okay. You go and do that. It's okay. But we also have to be honest and say, if he's going to get most of the praise and most of the flowers when things are rolling, we also have to say he gets a good part of the blame when he doesn't play well and things are not going good. I'm a much more blame the players than blame the coaches kind of guy. That doesn't mean the coaches have been perfect. That doesn't mean I liked everything. I didn't. That doesn't mean I love the fourth down decision. That doesn't mean I love the game management. I didn't. And I'll tackle that next. And then we'll get to your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, it is not, again, let me repeat, it is not a feel-good football Friday in the DMV. Maybe in Philadelphia it is on WIP, which I listen to, unfortunately, a lot. on my way back and forth today, and they are feeling their oats, and they are drinking all sorts of the finest beer alive on planet Earth. We are drinking watered-down Diet Coke, baby, to try and keep us afloat on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yeah, I kind of should have expected this was coming. I always said it's not a feel-good football Friday, baby. We still have five games against the NFL spread to pick. We still have our top six teams ranked in order. 1 through 6. But I can promise you it won't include the Commanders. At 7-4, as they lose 26-18 to the Philadelphia Eagles, in a lot of ways, I think we all know those final 8 points were just kind of ones of charity. They don't really count. But maybe the 26 wasn't as bad as it actually ultimately turned out to be. So maybe you could make an argument that while 26-18 is a little bit misleading, maybe so is the 26. That being said, it is what it is. Again, you cannot be at the asleep at the wheel for 51 minutes of a 60-minute game and expect to win on the road on a short week in the division against a much better team. Before I get to my overall arching point, which I've made on Twitter already, last night after the game, and I'll continue to make today, I just wanted to go into two coaching decisions or two philosophy decisions. As everybody knows, late in the, you know, midway through the fourth quarter last night, to go for it on 4th and 2 after you've been stuffed on 2nd down and 3rd down. When Brian Robinson is stopped for -1 and for no gain on 2 consecutive plays, after you rip off 9 yards on 1st down and somehow, some way, John Bates is becoming your offense, and you're like, well, maybe we do have a chance here. Maybe we do have an opportunity here. And then, again, you get 2 essentially negative runs, and you're like, well, wait a second. 4th down, we've got to go for this, right? It's only a 12-10 game. Our defense is starting to crumble. It's midway through, more than a little bit midway through. There's 8 minutes left in the game. A 43-yard field goal puts us up 13-12, and while that doesn't guarantee that you win the game by any stretch of the imagination, if you can connect on the field goal, it does give you the lead. It does give you points. It does kind of recalibrate, reset, maybe give a little jolt to the sideline, maybe gives a little jolt to the defense, and maybe you don't give up a basically what turns out to be they said in the press box last night a 41-yard gash. It actually was a 32-yard play. Either way, still way too big. Maybe you don't give up that play. Maybe you get the turnover on the Goddard fumble along the sideline on that play if you kick the field goal a couple of plays before, if you're up 13-12, if you played it a little bit more safe. But Dan Quinn decided to go for it. He cited, and we should have all understood this, that they've been very good on 4th down. They hadn't missed one until the end of the game against Pittsburgh last week, and we all know how that kind of went. He also did admit in the post-game press conference, hey, man, kind of felt the game slipping away. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Again, they were already down 12-10 at that point. Philadelphia had finally cracked through and scored a touchdown at that point. I understand the need to get points when you think a game is slipping away. I do. As long as it's not reckless. And sometimes coaches are reckless. I do not believe Dan Quinn was reckless last night. I believe if I was the head coach, which I'm not, I would have kicked the field goal and hopefully taken a 13-12 lead. But I cannot sit here and yell and scream and shout at the top of the mountain that Dan Quinn screwed up and cost his team the game. I can't do that. Did I agree with the decision? Ultimately, I didn't love the decision. Before the snap, after the snap, the execution, the situation, post-game, what have you. I didn't love it. I would have preferred what is a more than makeable field goal for Zane Gonzalez and to take the lead and to try it that way. But I can't sit here and tell you how clueless Dan Quinn was and what have you. And he's right. The execution sucked. Poor snap exchange. I don't know if that's on Biotis. I don't know if that's on Jaden. I don't know. He stumbled out of the chute. He was under center, which a lot of you guys love. A lot of you guys don't want any fourth down, third down, one, two runs coming out of shotgun. Oh, you can't do that. There's no reason to do that. You got to be under center. Well, this is sometimes what happens when you're under center. Sometimes things like this happen. Now, it can also happen in shotgun, too. Bad snap can be a bad snap. You can stumble. You can fall. You can slip. You can trip. You can get blown up. I got it. I ran into London Fletcher after the game. He's, of course, doing the radio broadcast and played for a long time at a near a Hall of Fame level. And we were just chit-chatting after the game real quickly. And he didn't have a major problem with what Dan Quinn did. Did you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I did not. I didn't love it. I didn't like it. I guess all the stupid bots that you people all consume, you know, like Bill Barnwell runs around and throwing bots like they bots mean anything and have any context. I from what Michael Phillips told me, the fourth down bot thing on Twitter, whatever that is, said actually, when I was convinced that they would absolutely say to go for it, apparently they said, nope, should have kicked the field goal. What do you guys think? 301-230-0980. We'll do the trending alert. When we come back, we'll give you another problem with the coaching that stood out more than anything else. And there was plenty that stood out and not so in a good way. We'll do that next after, again, a quick trending alert right here on the team. 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so as the Commanders go to the mini bye here, they won't play again for another 9 days when they host the Dallas Cowboys at Northwest Stadium after a second consecutive loss, 7-4. The rest of the NFL will take shape this weekend, a couple of big ones. Dalton Kincaid will be out for the Buffalo Bills against the undefeated Super Bowl champion back-to-back style, Kansas City Chiefs. Harrison Butker, their place kicker, put on IR yesterday, so they'll have a new kicker in Buffalo, which could always be interesting. In mid-November. That's probably the game of the weekend. No short sight to the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That still to come on Sunday as well. But no Commanders football for the next 9 days as they try and heal up and get ready for the Dallas Cowboys. But we do have plenty of other sports, including tonight, Washington in Atlanta for a second time already this year. The Wizards, that is. 7:30 the tip, 7:15 the pregame over on Bloomberg, 99.1. Here on the Team 980, we have the Maryland Terrapins and Marquette going at it in College Park. That's right, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. You can hear that game starting at 7:30 over on the Fan. The Capitals begin a lengthy road trip in Colorado. Should get the debut or the re-debut of Stanley Cup hero Lars Eller. You can hear that game again on 106.7 The Fan, and that's what's trending. Before we get to the calls, it is a Friday in the nation's capital and beyond, especially if you root for the burgundy and gold, as they got basically what that beep just had to say last night in Philadelphia to the Eagles. Again, no embarrassment or anything. You know, again, I don't consider it maybe I'm too soft, a bad loss or anything. It's an understandable loss. It's not a good loss. It's just not a bad loss. Jaden Daniels did not play good. We all know that, right? We don't have to, you know, babyfoot around. I was going to say another thing, but I didn't want anybody to get mad at me. We don't have to, like, you know, act like, oh, my God, we can't criticize him. No. He didn't play good, period. There's lots of reasons for it. One of the reasons that I'm sure a lot of you are going to, you know, try and chalk up this game to is, well, Cliff Kingsbury is all of a sudden clueless. That's not correct. It's not correct. Now, can Cliff Kingsbury do something more to help this team out? Sure, we can discuss that. Not clueless, or the assertion that he's clueless or unprepared or doing a terrible job. I don't agree. However, when the Eagles last night go up 26-10, and granted, I'll admit, I started like not paying attention because it's a 16-point game. There's 4:45 left on the clock. It's highly, highly, highly unlikely that they're going to get two full scores. And by two full scores, I mean two touchdowns and two two-point conversions. But mathematically, they still had a chance. And I guess I didn't hear this, but Shane was talking about on the game broadcast, Kirk and Al didn't mention that, whatever, and that upset him. Fine, I don't care about those guys. And I don't care about the broadcast itself. They were down 26-10, and they still had a chance. And even I started, like, kind of checking out mentally, right? I just did. And then somehow, some way, the Commanders decide to go drip, 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 and you get the point. And they run the ball four or five times, and they don't take their timeouts. And they're not in, like, some super urgent tempo. And I get that you got to get one score before you get the second score. I do understand that. And a lot of coaches have told me over the years, hey, man, before we go into panic mode, before we go into complete no-huddle tempo just to get to save time, we want to make sure we get the first score so that we can get to the second score. Because without the first score, there is no second score. And that does make some sense, but when you're down 16 points, when you're down 16 points with 4:38 left on the clock, you have to have some level of urgency, and they had very, very little. They had very, very little, and they ultimately got the touchdown and the two-point conversion. Maybe Jaden's best throw of the game, although I think there was a better one. Also to Zach Ertz earlier in the game. But they got the touchdown and they got the two-point conversion. The problem is, because it took them 15 plays, and because they acted with very little urgency, there was 30 seconds left on the clock. And maybe if there was 2 minutes left on the clock and you had all your timeouts, or you had some of your timeouts, because they had two left remaining. I don't remember when they used the first timeout. I'm going to have to double check that. But they had two left remaining. If you had some level of urgency, I believe they had two left remaining. If I remember that right, if you had some level of urgency and you had the 2 minutes of the two timeouts remaining and you had a minute and 45 seconds, say, instead of going for the predictable onside kick, maybe you play defense. Maybe you give yourself a shot. But instead, they were in like molasses. And again, I understand you got to execute the first one to get to the second one. Got it. But you can't execute the first one so freaking slowly and so methodically that you leave yourself no time to get to the second one. And that's exactly what they did. All right, 301-230-0980. Let's get to you on the phones and get you involved on the phones at 301-230-0980. Let's get to Alex and Anna Alexandria in the leadoff spot here on a whatever this is Friday. What's up, Alex? How are you?
Not very good. I'm disappointed, honestly, because I was one of those guys that I thought that we could take this game in Philly. But the mistakes, I mean, the defense played well enough to keep us in the game in the entire first half, and offense just didn't click, man. And I know you mentioned earlier that you don't like to put blame on coaches, and I'm one of those myself. But I mean, you gotta get the ball to McLaurin. I mean, McLaurin's uniform was spotless for almost four quarters of the game.
Well, here's the problem. First off, I didn't say I don't like to blame the coach. I blame the players more than the coaches. So that is accurate. I'm more than willing to blame coaches when I think it's fair. To your point, yes, absolutely ridiculous that Terry McLaurin doesn't get a target until the first drive of the third quarter. But, I mean, in fairness, somebody, a good friend of mine asked me at halftime, he said, "Hey, man, what's going on with McLaurin?" And I said, "I don't think he's getting any separation." I didn't have next-gen stats tell me that. I just had the football game in front of me, and I can't see everything. I miss a lot of things. That's why I go back and watch it on tape. But I didn't see a lot of separation, and I think all of the next-gen technology and whatever would say the same exact thing, that Terry McLaurin had somebody on his hip named Quinyon Mitchell, who is a first-round corner who's going to be a pain in the ass to deal with for the next 8 to 10 years if he can stay healthy in Philadelphia.
I understand that, but there's ways to get the ball, to get him involved in the game, whether it's a screen pass, whether it's a reverse. I don't care. But
I would agree.
You got to have your playmakers involved in the game. And I know, and I mentioned this earlier in the season, and you didn't like it, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to call up some players. I think Bobby Wagner yesterday, if you watched the game, well, you obviously you watched it, but, you know, I was watching him. He's the play caller on defense. He keeps hitting the wrong gap. A bunch of plays that went his way, he was nowhere. He was the one that needed to be in that spot to stop a couple of big runs by the number
by Barkley,
14, whoever they brought in after.
Well, Gainwell had a couple of big gains, pun intended, a couple of big rips late in that game as the defense was getting worn down. No. I'm with you that Bobby Wagner isn't like, you know, Luke Kuechly in his prime, or even Bobby Wagner earlier in his prime. I got it. I understand that. But that, I think, when you're in the wrong gap and you're as smart as he is, that means you're exhausted. That means you're tired. And maybe that's an excuse, but, you know.
But the guys that I did like, and I did like them, it was those two rookies. Newman in the center, yep. The tackle, I thought he was bringing it every yep. night. He was bringing pressure.
And Sane Ristel as well.
Summer, whatever his name is.
Sane Ristel.
I think future's great, but Jaden Daniels, I mean, he kept looking down the whole game. His demeanor is not there. I mean, you got to be a leader, man. You got to get up and say, "Hey, guys, I need more time here." Let's and McLaurin too. He's a captain. Say, "Hey, get me the damn ball," like Theo Owens used to say. Get him the damn ball, or whatever the other guy was from USC.
Yeah,
anyway,
I appreciate you, Alex. I got to let you run. I understand your frustration. I mean, I had somebody say, you know, it bothers me that Jaden Daniels isn't on the iPad all the time on the sideline. I get that. You know, I've seen him plenty of times without the iPad. I can't say never, but I've seen him plenty of times without the iPad. Like, and is he getting in people's faces and is he yelling and screaming? No, that's not his demeanor. So if you're going to love his demeanor when things are going good, you also have to understand that in order to be authentic, he can't be ranting and raving and yelling and screaming and throwing a temper tantrum on the sideline when he's getting ambushed or when Jalen Carter is constantly in the backfield. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. More of your calls straight ahead and more of your reaction on this, oh man, we are so bleeped, Friday. Exactly. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you're in a bad romance with the Washington Commanders, you're feeling extra crappy about it this morning or this afternoon. It normally is a feel-good football Friday, but, you know, can't do that today. Instead, it's a we are Friday right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. 7-4. Obviously, we're doing a little bit of a bit. They're not totally, but they're in a position now, as I opened up the show, where they're no longer complete. I mean, they are to some degree in control of their own destiny, but they are not absolutely, completely, totally, if that makes sense, in charge of their own destiny. Certainly not in the NFC East. And you would say, well, they are at 7-4. And they've got an easy schedule. But I'm telling you, anybody that's walking around going, oh, they've got an easy schedule. Dallas at home, Tennessee at home, New Orleans on the road after the bye. You guys don't understand the NFL. Is it a killer schedule? No. Do the Eagles have a harder schedule? Yes. Is it an easy schedule? Nothing is easy. You should not be sitting here saying we have three guaranteed wins straight ahead. That's just not the way the NFL works. And you can say, well, you're being negative. I'm being real. And here's one thing that I did find during the break. I couldn't remember when they had used their first timeout and their only timeout, as it turned out. Timeout as it turned out. After the Jaden Daniels interception by Reed Blankenship, which was a bad throw, bad everything. The change in possession, Barkley comes out, runs for 7 yards on first down to the Washington 39. That's when they use a timeout. I can't remember the situation. I don't know if they had a bad personnel switch there. I just can't remember. And then on the very next play out of the timeout comes the big 39-yard touchdown. So whatever they talked about during the timeout, whatever they switched to, whatever they did, it did not work. And then, again, that puts the Commanders down 26-10 with they get the ball at 4:38 left and, again, don't use any of their timeouts. Now, they have the two-minute warning. They're down 16. They did run some, again, tempo. They were coming to the line, but it was like a slow malaise. It wasn't like quick and efficient. And there were several running plays, which, I understand that's where your offense is best, but that also doesn't stop the clock. And if you're down 16, it's way different than being down 8. And needing to precisely execute. I get how coaches would answer it, saying, we need to score one before we worry about the second. Yeah, but you need to have time to get to the second. And they didn't have any time. I don't know. That's just my thoughts. Back to the phones we go. Let's squeeze in. Where are we going here? DC is next up on this Friday on the Team 980. What's up, DC?
Great day, Russell. I'm good. How are you?
I'll be better at 4 o'clock when I can sit in more traffic, you know? I'm just teasing. I'm looking forward to getting home tonight and having and having some Scotty's vodka. I can tell you that much.
Yes, indeed. Life begins when you get to step away from that workplace. You know.
Yes, sir.
But I have some things I liked and I didn't like. Some have to do with on the field, and some have to do with off the field.
Mm-hmm.
On the field, Mikey Sanders still. Is great. Getting better yep. by the week.
He was terrific, now, especially inside the end zone, no doubt.
Yes, look, flashes of Darryl Green. Now his speed may not be there, but he goes after it, and he is not afraid to check AJ Brown, mm-hmm. Devontae Adams, mm-hmm. Goddard, no matter who they put him on.
Yep. He's got a bulldog. You're right. He doesn't have the elite top end speed. He's not slow, but he doesn't have the elite top end speed. But he's got a bulldogness, a tenacity that is easy to see, and it really showed in the end zone last night.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Chin and playing the run. He has to get a little better in his passing coverage, but he's getting better as the week goes on too. Bobby Wagner, like my friend said earlier, he's mm-hmm. got to stop that run. Him and Saquon, this was his matchup.
Yep.
Just like when he was in Seattle going against McCaffrey or whatever the case may be.
Before I watch the tape, I'm going to chalk that up to exhaustion. Now, maybe that's making excuses, but they were on the field way, way, way too much on a short week against an explosive offense. And he's 33 years old.
Understood, but we got to come with the energy or something. I mean, what he need a pep talk from Luval and I don't know.
I mean, they came with the energy for almost three quarters. You know, like I get what you're saying, and I get the criticism. I'm just saying they're human beings, and they're playing two games in 5 days. You know, and at the age of 33, not everybody is going to have the same spring in their legs in the fourth quarter that they had in the first or second quarter.
Yeah, you definitely don't love those Thursday night games.
No.
But offensively, I think our O-line, I don't know if it's because they haven't had the continuity because they haven't been playing together every game and people have been missing here and there, but they have to get back to playing better. Even in the run game, I'm seeing Brian Robinson have to – He's Break. Getting contact yep. at the line of scrimmage, yep. and he has to make the yard.
Yeah, no
you know
doubt.
What I mean?
Well, if you look at a couple of his early runs, even the better ones, right? I'm trying to think. The 8-yard run early on, trying to look back through my notes here. You know, he had an 8-yard run. He had a 2-yard run early on, an 8-yard run. He had a 1-yard run on, I think it was the I'm trying to think of all the difference. Oh no, actually, I'm sorry. That's a little bit later on in the game. Anyway, you get the point. Like even on a couple of the bigger runs early on, he was still having to churn mm-hmm. and keep the legs moving and break tackles. Which yes. again, sometimes you're going to have to do that. Nobody's saying you're not going to have to do that, but it was a little bit too much. Is your point?
Right. I would love for him to be able to do that against the safeties yep. and the corners.
Yeah,
and then
no,
it's
that's
a
fair.
Different ball game.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, DC, I got to let you run. Sorry, we're up against the clock, but I appreciate you as always. But you know, wanted to let you get some points in. No doubt. Listen, the offensive line is also beat up. Even though Andrew Wiley played last night, Brandon Coleman played last night, and they didn't bring in Cornelius Lucas, and maybe they should have because Brandon Coleman struggled for a second day in a row. They're all beat up. Tyler Biadasz has not been the same since getting hurt in the Pittsburgh game last Sunday. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. More of your calls straight ahead.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.